It's where the church meets. And the church is who?
Us.
It's the believers, right? And if that's the case, the church is actually in this building. It's in the church down the street. It's where the believers are meeting on the other side of the world in somebody's house. It is, the church is the body of Christ, where the believers. But at the same time, we do local church. We do a place where we say, these are my folks, these are my people. This is the place where I feel God's led me to become a part of and to serve and to love and to grow together. That's the purpose of why we do local churches. It's a place where we just gather together. How well do you think church would work if we just rotated churches every week? Everybody goes to a different church every week. Who's going to do the work of the church, right? When a visitor comes, nobody's going to know if they're a visitor, because we wouldn't know if they were new or just, you know, church has a need to gather and do the things of love, right? All the one another's of the church. Remember the New Testament? There's like over 50 scriptures that talk about what are some of the one another's? Anybody want to try them out? What are the one another's that we're called to do in Scripture? Love one another is the obvious one. Serve one another. What else? Pray for one another. Mm-hmm. We're called to encourage one another, right? Build one another up. You know, help each other to get stronger in the faith. Ah, yeah, bear with one another. Yeah, we're supposed to put up with one another. Yep. I know that's a surprise. You put up with me. We bear with each other. We're supposed to strengthen each other. We're even supposed to rebuke one another in love, right? This is part of being a family. Do families do a little rebuking every now and again? Part of family, right? So it's where I feel led to grow and be a part of this group of people, where I can encourage and bless and strengthen and encourage and build this relationship of, Dennis, I heard you say trust. Yeah, we build this environment of family and trust together. And it's our little part of the bigger body of Christ. It's where we commit to being a part of a family together. So that's what membership really is all about. And we have a wonderful group. I'm going to go ahead and ask our new members to come up to today. And we're going to have you stand right up here. So come on up, all my new members. You know who you are. Yeah, one of them's coming down. Look at this crew. We have one that was not able to be here. Don Clanky is out traveling. He's visiting family, and so he's not able to be here, but he is excited about being a part of the family. So we're going to go down the road here and just have you... You know what? I'm gonna have you guys. They didn't know I was gonna do this. 5-minute dissertation on your faith walk. No, I'm kidding. All I want you to do is just say your name so people can hear your voice, and just share a little bit how long you've been attending here, and that's fine. We just want help people to get to know you a little better. Ella?
My name is Ella.
And how long have you been coming to Warren Community? Do you remember?
About 12 years.
About 12 years. Yeah, they predate me. So, yeah.
Just about the same time.
Yeah, so that was awesome. All right, I'll let you hold it and pass that on.
She's going to speak for both of us.
So I guess I'm going to speak for both of us. So this is Kevin and Tanya Kavanaugh. We started coming just, I think, around Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So that's when we started.
I remember you guys came to our Thanksgiving share meal, the potluck. Yep. I had suspicions. I'm like, are they here for the food? They're just here for the food.
Feed them and they will come.
They just keep coming back. Okay.
I'm Jillian Lyon. I've been coming here about 9 years.
Dennis Rhodes. I've been here just about a year.
My name is Robin. I used to come last year, and I stopped coming, and I thought long and hard, when was the last time that I felt good in life? And here I am again.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad to hear that.
David Dow. I've been coming here about 2 years. And
Trudy Dow, and that little goofball was Matthew Dow, who took off. And we've all been coming here about 2 years.
Heather,
I don't know how long we've been here.
All right, that's the other daughter Megan, part of our youth group.
Mike and Heather Gross, and we'll be coming here about a year.
I'm Chuck, and this is Teji here, Zuber, and we've been coming here about a year now.
Awesome.
2 years, maybe.
Has it been 2 years?
Has it been 2 years?
Time flies, doesn't it? Oh, my heavens. So what a wonderful group. I had a wonderful time spending time with them, talking about what membership means. And so we just want to go through our little welcome ceremony of gathering together. Our commitment says, when I received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, I became a part of the body of Christ, and I afterwards connected with a local body and was baptized. Some of these are being baptized today, as to follow up with that. I am now feeling led by God to become a committed member of the Warren Community Church and to make this church my family and my home. Membership in my church is a gift, and I pray that I will never take my membership for granted, but to see it as a blessing from God, an opportunity to love and serve others, and to be a part of something God is doing through all of us here at Warren Community Church. So this is our verses up here. This is what being a part of the body means. We want to grow in love for God and others as we gather. And this is in fulfillment of the greatest commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So will you, and I'll ask you guys to respond with, I will. Will you grow in love for God and others through worship and fellowship together? All right. We're called to be transformed, to be changed together through the Word of God. Romans says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Will you be transformed through personal and small group time together in God's Word? And find a place to serve and share our faith story with others. We're all called to be a part of serving somewhere in the body and in the community. Jesus said, hey, if the Son of Man came to serve, you also are going to should serve. And we should each use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Will you find a place to serve others in your church or community? If so, answer, I will. And that'll look different for all of you, won't it? Yep, not everybody plays the drums, not everybody teaches kids, not everybody gardens. It's all different, and it's all good. And we also talked about, as part of the church family, that we would seek to help others start and grow on their journey of faith. Helping by sharing our faith story and helping them to start their own faith story. We promised to be a person of peace and unity, and which in a nutshell is, we don't gossip, we don't talk about or bring division in the church, right? We come to bring people together. We said that was an important thing of what we do. And we want to make financial giving just a joyful, regular part of our worship to God. And that's part of being a part of the family. We all contribute to the household of faith. So that was something we all said was important. So with that, we want to officially welcome you all as official members of Warren Community Church. Let's give them some love. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll have some... Yeah, we're going to have some dessert and punch afterwards just to kind of celebrate this and the baptism afterwards. So make sure you say hi and get to know some of these folks if you haven't met them yet, okay? Thanks, everybody. Thank you that we can stand, we can find peace, we can rest in the reality of the God of all creation, the God of Israel, the God of the New Testament church. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for being real. Still, these 5, 6, 7,000 years later, you are still true. And we thank you, Lord God. So just minister to us and through your word. We need you, Lord God, of all times, Lord, every day. We need you, and so thank you for how you're going to minister to us today. We pray it in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks, Todd and Kevin. Well, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. We're going to step out of our Proverbs series for a couple of weeks. Brother Bill is going to be preaching next week. Terry and I will be taking a weekend away. And so Bill will be preaching, and then we'll get back to our Proverbs series the Sunday after that. But we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I thought it might be worth something to say about what the Bible says about being members of the body. It has a lot to say about unity, doesn't it? Scripture does, about being together, being one body, being one family. Jesus said it in his high priestly prayer in the Gospel of John. He said, I and them, he's praying to the Father, you, Father, in me, so that they, that's all of us, would be one together in complete unity. That's what we're called to be and to do, is to be in complete unity. And Jesus said, then the world will know that, Father, you sent me, Jesus is saying, and have loved them even as you have loved me. He says, the world's going to know that the Father is real when they see the body of Christ together loving one another as Christ loved us. That's the biggest testimony that there is, and that's what Jesus says. We're not together just because we kind of like, you know, the whole Michigan, U of M, you know, some people are Michigan, some people are U of M, and we're not together like that. We're not together because we enjoy the same pastime or the same food or the same kinds of people. Because we all know that only goes so far, right? That kind of togetherness, that kind of unity only goes as far as until somebody doesn't get their way. And then there's no unity, right? That's or the food runs out, right? Or whatever. Yeah, there's unity in the body, and that's based on one thing and one thing only. It is our shared gratefulness and thanksgiving to Jesus for what he has done for us on the cross. That's what unites us. That's what makes us a people where before we were not a people. That's what makes us a body. That's why there are people that don't go to this church, but they're still my brothers and sisters. They're people I've known from previous churches when I got saved, when I was younger. They're still there. I see them, and we pick up because where we left off because they're my brothers and sisters. And we have what? That one shared thing in common. Profound gratefulness for the grace of God and for his forgiveness and for his restoring me into fellowship with God, my Father. And we're connected also. It doesn't take us long to realize that we're all the same, right? We're all in the same boat. No one's better. No one's worse. No one's more deserving or less deserving. Have you ever heard that term, the ground is level at the foot of the cross? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all are in the same place. We were all in the same need of the cross of Christ for him to die for our sins. But then, of course, our humanists, we start getting together as human beings and we start, oh, that one's better than this one, or she's better than me, or I'm better than her, I'm more important. It's not in here, right? And it's never what God intended. We're all the same. Every one of us had the same need as the other. And that's what makes us one body and one family together. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Well, we're going to read our verse that we'll focus on today. So let's stand as we read God's word. I do like to honor the word of God when we read it. It's an important thing to recognize. The word of God is important. It's valuable and it's worthy of being honored. So let's read together. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Thank you, Lord God, for this word that is such an important reminder for us about what it means to be a part of not only the broader body of Christ, all believers everywhere around the world, but a part of our local body, a part of our church family, a part of these people that I serve and worship with. So thank you. Thank you for this word. And just we pray that it would just penetrate deep into our hearts and help us, Lord God, as we learn how to live and love together better. So thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, 1 Corinthians is a letter from Paul to the Corinthian church. And he was just going through some different things with them. He had gone through in the previous chapter 11 about the Lord's Supper. He says, when you gather together, you know, don't rush in and, you know, eat, and then some people don't have anything to eat. And he was actually talking about a fellowship meal where they were actually eating together. He says, don't go rushing ahead. Do this together. This is supposed to be something we do together. And then he went on to talk about spiritual gifts, and he says, you know, there's one Spirit that gives gifts to everybody, and he gives them just as he determines, and he gives them to who he gives them to. He gives them to them for how long he wants them to have them. He says he gives each of us the gifts that we need. So he was talking about all these things that are for the common good, right? We're supposed to come together for the common good, to encourage one another. We're supposed to serve with the gifts God's given us for the common good. And at that time, the leadership was growing, because the church was young, right? It grew as the body continued, but it was young then. So it was talking about the importance of the body being one and being together. And then he goes on, and I'm going to skip down to verse 12, and he gives this reminder. He says, for just as the body, is one and has many members, and all the members are part of the body. Though many, they are one body, and so it is with Christ. So he's basically saying, just like I have a body, I have a finger, I have an eye, I have toes, I have knees. Those are all my toes and knees and eyes and fingers, right? Because it's part of my body. And he says, that's the same with Christ. He says, there are many different parts of the body of Christ, but they all belong to who? Yeah, they all belong to Christ. They're members of the body of Christ. And he goes to describe it in this, in verse 14. And I talked last week about how our world celebrates different, right? And there's a lot of variety, and there's a lot of appreciation for all the differences in world today rather than kind of cookie cutter like maybe it's been in the past. But at the same time, we have to remember that God thought of that first a long, long time ago. He describes it this way. He says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, you get the idea, every different part of the body plays a different role, and they're all important, right? They're all important. It says, as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chooses. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. All right? We're all different. We're all different parts, but we all belong to the same body of Christ. We all belong to him. Every part is equally unique and equally important. And it's God that does the arranging. Sometimes we question about, well, should this, could this, is that right? Or is this person, should this person be doing this? Should I be doing that? When we step back and we recognize it's God that does the arranging, it takes us out of the equation, doesn't it? It's not for me to judge you. It's not for you to judge me. It's for each one of us to say, God, what do you, how have you designed me? To seek him in his word and through prayer and say, God, what are you calling me to do? I want to do it the way your word says to do it, and I want to do it the way your spirit is leading me to do it. And when we seek after God to do that, God arranges the body as is supposed to be. We were created, you like my Mr. Potato Head? We were created to function together, right? Everybody playing their part, everybody doing what God has led them to do. How many people, there's probably parents that have had kids, you sometime down the road you find Mr. Potato Head's eye or lips at the bottom of a toy box somewhere, and you're like, man, we gave away Mr. Potato Head a long time ago. He's apparently lipless, you know, and that's can be what happens when we say, I'm going to function outside of the body. We become a pair of lips that don't have a body, right? Just sitting there in the bottom of the toy box, not able to do anything, because we're not, what? Connected to the body. It's important. It's important that we are plugged in and connected with the body, because we have to not only do we need others to support and encourage us, but we need to be the ones that are there to support and encourage others. It's the way Jesus designed it to work. We're meant to be together. We're meant to be together. Jumping back to verse 13 of chapter 12, it says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." There is one body, one spirit. It's the blessings of boundaries. It's the blessings of knowing what's true and what's not. What's real and what's how God designed us and created us and what's not. There is one spirit that we drink of together. There's a wonderful verse here in Romans. Man, this is so powerful. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Abba is just a familiar word for father. It's more of a daddy type of a term. And the adoption of sons, obviously it means sons and daughters, but that was the writing of the time. But we received a spirit of adoption. And this is really what the world needs most of all. Many are under a spirit of slavery. And as this verse says, we fall into fear. We fall into fear when we don't have this spirit of adoption. We see our world surrounded with anxiety and depression and addictions. There's a desire many ways for people to numb the difficulties of life, whether that be with shopping, video games, substances, pot, alcohol, pills. We are trying to numb some of these difficulties that this world is struggling with. It takes us to the point of not caring about life. It brings us to where we are with suicide on the rise in so many ways. There is a need for a spirit of adoption where we don't fear. We don't fear. We can say, I can cry out, Abba, Father, and know that I am His. I'm His, and He's mine. And I don't have to fear when God has my back. Some of these things that I talked about, they're symptoms of people without an assurance of hope that God is real and He's got my back. That sense of that I'm loved, and then the sense of I have this place of belonging where I know where I can go and I am loved and welcomed and supported. And when I'm going through this really tough and rocky time in my life, these people are gonna be there for me. They're my family. And the God that we all serve together, just like He's been there, and I've seen God be there for that person and that person and that person as they went through tragedy, if He was there for them, He's going to be there for me. That's what this world needs, this spirit of adoption, this confidence that I don't have to fear. So often in our world, people are trying to find love and community and a place of belonging. And we've surrounded, of course, by social media and it's an empty solution. We think that it's going to be social and it's going to be a place of love and a place where I can find acceptance. And what we find there is it's no replacement for human relationship. We can spend hours and hours of time chatting with people and talking with people, but, and I'm not saying that there's not relationships that are built there, and I use Facebook. I'm not a Twitter person. I'm not an Instagram person, but I use Facebook. It's nothing wrong with it in and of itself, but when that is where we are feeling like we're going to find that belonging, that place, these are my people, is that what we're going to find? These are my people? Boy, I'll tell you what, you say the wrong thing and all of a sudden you find that your people ain't your people anymore. They unpeople you. Relationships are made to happen personally, face to face. They're made to happen together. They're made to happen together. And this world needs a spirit of adoption, a place of belonging and identity. We're all a lost and broken people. Oh, we were, I mean, but now we're saved. Now we're no longer lost. Now I've been found. And I'm not trying to say that there isn't a need for medical and medicinal things for sometimes for some of these things. I realize that's a reality. But so many of the hurts and the things that we try to treat with medications or whatever it is that we use to numb ourselves, they can be fixed simply by having a place where you just know, I belong here. I don't have to fear. That spirit of fear gets replaced by a spirit of adoption where I am his and he is mine, and these people are going to be there for me. That's when we're able to say, I'm adopted. I'm not going to live in fear. I don't have to. I can say, Abba, Father, thank you for being my father. Thank you for knowing what's best for me. Thank you for walking with me. I don't have to fear. I remember that. I remember that as clear as day when I don't remember a lot. Those of you that know me well, I don't have, my memory is pretty. But I remember in that, sitting there in that little 1980 Toyota Celica with my then girlfriend, and I realized that God, in spite of me, in spite of who I knew I was, knew me and still loved me and forgave me and wanted to walk with me through life. And it was just like, wow. I didn't know that was possible. And when I realized it was possible, my whole world, my perspective on how I viewed my life changed. And it was a beautiful thing. I began to be able to say Abba Father in that moment. He wasn't just some distant God that I heard about somebody on up in a pulpit on a platform on Sunday talk about. He was my Father and was going to be with me. That was a total change for me. So this verse continues on. It says, in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Remember, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, we're all the same. We were all made to drink that one spirit. We know who we are. We know that the Spirit indwells us, and he's with us. And we are empowered by his Spirit. We're guided by his Spirit. We're filled with joy from his Spirit. That's awesome. And we have our brothers and sisters and our church, this family that's going to be here to support us and help us and encourage us. I've got this place that even as messed up as I am, you got a messed up pastor, you know that? We're all a little messed up. Some of us just hide it better than others. But we're all, it's level at the cross. We all got a little bit of messed up in us. And God says, I know, I still love you. And he promises to walk with us. And we look at each other and say, I know, you're messed up, so am I. And we're going to walk together. And it's okay. It's good. There's one spirit, one hope. Go to the next slide. We were all in one spirit. We were all baptized into one body. made to drink of one spirit. This Ephesians verse is awesome. One body, there's one spirit, one baptism, one Lord, one faith, one God, who is over all, through all, and in all. There's one God, and we're His. Amen? Is that awesome? We are His. He is. There's one God, and He is over, in, and through everything, and we are His, and He is ours, and that's awesome. And that's why we get baptized. Baptism is, this water doesn't save anybody. It doesn't wash them clean of their sins. That all happened when? I heard a lot of words. When did the washing away of sins happen? Yeah, when you gave your life to Christ. Yeah, Dave, say it. Yeah, when you gave your life to Christ. You asked Him to be your Lord and Savior. He washed you clean. This is just a representation, a symbol of what Jesus has already done through faith in Christ. And so baptism, it's an awesome thing. We get to share our faith with the body, and the body says, that's awesome. We're so glad you came to be part of the family. We just follow Jesus. Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, and I'll be with you to the very end of the age. We're just following after Christ, right? We're following after Peter when Jesus said, lay down your nets, come follow me. Right, Matthew, when he said, put your money aside. You're not working for the government anymore. You're working for me. And Stephen, when he said, Stephen, lay down your life. Lay down your life for me. And Stephen did. That's what this is about. It's about saying, I'm a believer now, and I'm following Christ. So, I'm going to ask Kevin, where are you, brother? Go on ahead and get yourself ready for baptism. So it won't take him but a minute, but I wanted to kind of make that a clarification. I've had people that have said, I was already baptized once when I was younger. Am I supposed to be baptized again? I just asked him two questions. When you were baptized, were you baptized because of your own personal decision of faith? Was this something that you chose to do because you had put your faith in Jesus? And did you understand that? Did you understand what you were doing? I've had people that have said, I had a parent that made me or did it for me. I really didn't know what I was doing. I really didn't understand it. I'd say, you know what? Have you put your faith in Jesus today? Yeah, I have. Well, then you need to be baptized. Make your own personal confession of faith. Because that's what this is. It's your profession of faith of your own choice. And some will say, well, I was baptized when I was older. Did you understand it? Yeah, I did, but I was baptized when I was like 18, and I really meant it with all my heart. But I'll be honest with you, I strayed, and I haven't walked with the Lord. I didn't walk with Christ for like 15 years. It just wasn't a part of my life. Like, well, did you mean it back then? Did you understand it? Yeah, I meant it then. I just strayed. I just wandered. Well, then you don't need to be baptized again because you knew what you were doing when you did it. All you need to do is recommit to your profession of faith that you made back then. So that's how I explain that to people. How are you doing this as a result of your personal decision of faith? And if you are, and if you have, And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. All right. Awesome. We're going to have our kids come on so they can see baptism. We got Kevin back here yet? All right. I'm sure he's going to be coming. How you guys doing? Good, good. You cannot bring cookies here and not give me some. Not fair. Not fair. All right. Well, I want to read a little bit out of, hey, there you are, come on in. Romans chapter 6 says, do you not know that all of us, have a seat, I'm going to let you, we're going to do our other one first. That all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. They were therefore buried with him by baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And so it's basically what baptism symbolizes. It symbolizes that we have been, by our faith, baptized and or buried with Christ, just like he was buried after his death, but was raised again to new life on the Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Sunday. And baptism just symbolizes that we have been made, through faith, a part of Jesus' death, burial under the water, and resurrection to new life. And that's the beauty of what baptism is. So I just wanted to explain that and help you to understand that. Now, I'm not a hardcore, it's got to be baptism by immersion. What's important is a profession of faith. Some people, I've baptized people that they were not getting in there. They weren't capable, physical, or whatever. And that's fine. And we're going to have our first baptism. Trudy is going to come up. And this we're not going to do it in the tank, and that's fine. Kevin, just grab me the microphone. That is absolutely fine. Like we talked about, what's most important is your confession of faith, and that you have made a decision to trust in Christ. I've been getting to know Trudy just more over this last year. I think I met Dave earlier because he came to some of the men's group things in the past, but I got to meet Trudy, and it's been neat seeing the spark of faith growing in her life, and her desire and her hunger to one of the things you say, you want to hear more from God, yeah. Right? And every now and again, Trudy will come in and talk about some way that God led her or spoke to her about something. I'm like, look at that. God's starting to speak to you, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Isn't that awesome? So anything that you wanted to share at all about your time here and your faith walk?
Nothing I can think of.
Okay.
I feel more at home here. Like, this is my family.
Amen. You know?
None of my family besides my husband and my children are here because they just... That's not my family. They don't seem like my family anymore. Mm. You all are my family now.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, you know, we're gonna pray that one day they'll be part of this family too, right?
Yeah, would be great.
That would be awesome. Well, then we're gonna do a different kind of baptism.
Yeah, because I'm not.
But it's the same profession of faith. Have you asked Christ to forgive you of your sins?
Yes, I have.
Have you trusted in him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Well, based upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried with Christ, and raised to new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give her some love. All right. I'll get her a little bit wet. Go ahead. Thanks, sister. All right, isn't that awesome? I just love baptism because we just see what God is doing. in the lives of people, and that's awesome. Kev, we're going to have you come around. You want me to hold on to that while you're getting in? I'm going to do that. Come right on around the side. This is Kevin. Trudy helped you out. She's kind of warmed up the waters here, got things started. All right, you can just step down and just stand up there. All right. You good? You got really tall. So you and your dear wife have been a blessing to get to know. It feels like longer that you guys have been with us, but yeah, back since Thanksgiving of last year. And they just have had a desire to love and become a part of and support and help. And they've just, I love having them on the drums, but their desire to just encourage has been a blessing to me, and I know other people. So I've really come to love and appreciate you both. So yeah, I know we talked a little bit about what you might, if you had something to share.
Yes, I do. So the last week I've been praying to God, like, you know, please put the words on my heart. Please give me the words and the words. And I kept focusing on words. And, you know, God knows I'm not a very smart man. And it
was good company, brother.
And it wasn't really words that he wanted me to say. It was a word. And it came about yesterday when a wonderful friend of my wife and I, Susan, she, a very kind-hearted, loving person, gave me this card because they couldn't come here. This simple card that she picked up about baptism, and there it was. And the front says, "It's such a blessing to see your trust in Christ expressed in baptism." And there was the word, trust. And it was last week that Pastor preached on trust in Proverbs. Okay. In Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." And it all comes together even today in the children's verse where it says, you know, trust in the Lord, because his love is everlasting. Trust. There's that word again. So he gave me the word, and that's trust. And in 1965, my parents trusted in the Lord that they would raise me as a Christian. And it was when I was 24 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my holy Savior, that I will be led more by him than my own understanding. Today, I'm being baptized in front of my family, my friends, and especially my church family, that I will trust in God the rest of my life, and I will deepen my faith in him. And that's what I have to say.
Amen. Amen. All right. Oh, there we go. All right. Well, why don't you sit on down? The water's warm, right? I thought it was warm. Oh, yeah, please, come on up. Now, don't stand behind because you might get a little wet. There you go. All right. All right. Kevin, have you asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins?
Yes, I have.
Have you put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And based upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm going to have you plug your nose. All right. Buried with Christ and raised to new life. Amen.